Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who's always willing to make a move as long as it doesn't involve going outside. Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. We're going to be doing things a little bit differently, where we're going to do the feedback show first. It's backwards week. We're doing the feedback show first, and then we're going to do our recap on Friday. So Aris was scheduled to join us first this week. He needed to switch things around, so I'm going to talk with him on Friday morning. But first, we're going to get to our voicemail podcast with Bryce Isaiah. I'm very excited. Excited to talk with him, one of the great guests on Rob Has a Podcast. So it's been a minute since we talked to him, so we're going to get him on the line to talk about everything from episode number 10 of Survivor Game Changers. Last night, Stephen Fishback and I were debating many a different topic about Survivor Game Changers episode number 10, namely whether or not Sarah Lucina targeted the right person, whether she should have gotten the fishy, what's to come. So a lot of interesting discussion from that show. And this morning, I had the pleasure to speak with Debbie Wanner for the second time on an exit interview. That, too, is up on robhasawebsite.com. And then, of course, be on the lookout for my podcast with Aris on the podcast feed, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, to subscribe to that. And we do appreciate your feedback and your star ratings. Before we get to Bryce, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at CanvasPeople.com, brand new sponsor on the podcast. And Canvas People helps you create beautiful canvas photos based on any of the digital photos that you have on your phone or camera. Do you know the average person has over 720 pictures in their cell phone? My wife has at least 10 times that, I think. And she's always posting them on different social media sites, but even better than social media, because that stuff just goes and goes further and further down your timeline. Why not put up one of those photos in your house with Canvas People? Canvas People has a very easy to use photo to canvas service that will take your favorite picture and turn them into a beautiful work of art for you to enjoy every day. It's a great gift. Don't forget, Mother's Day is around the corner, and they've got a great offer for you as well. Right now, when you use promo code RHAP at canvaspeople.com, you will be charged $0 for the printing of your up to 11 by 14 photo canvas. It's a $69.99 value. You will get it for free. Just pay the shipping. It's less than $20 to get it shipped to you. It is a great gift. You're not going to do much better than that. Nicole and I just had one of the photos made up. It's downstairs in the living room. We love it. It sounds too good to be true, but you can buy with confidence. They have over 1 million satisfied customers. So to get this special offer, go to canvaspeople.com, upload your photo, select the 11 by 14 size, and enter promo code RHAP in the promo code box and get that special $0 pricing on the print. That's canvaspeople.com, promo code RHAP. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring back this guest, that he is the king of our Survivor voicemail podcast, a great friend of the podcast, and it's been way too long. Please welcome back the great Bryce Isaiah.
Man.
Yeah.
Hey. Come on. Hey.
Bryce, how are you?
I am amazing. How are you? Thank you so much for having me back. I feel like, you know, it's been so long. I feel like I had to come home.
Yes, you know, you had to.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And it's been about a year since we have had you on the podcast. So it's been way too long.
I don't believe that. I don't think it's been a year.
Yeah. If it hasn't been 12 months, I think it's probably been 11 months.
Okay, I'll go for 11 months. Okay, maybe 11 months.
Right there.
Okay.
And so, Bryce, first off, how are you doing?
I am amazing. I cannot complain. You know, I just recently moved. So moving sucks. I never, ever, 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 ever want to move again. But, you know, moved into a new luxurious home.
Whoa.
So I'm like, great. You know, I can't complain.
Okay. Well, that's very exciting. And yes, your last appearance on the podcast was May 13th, 2016. Oh,
so it, like I said, it was not a year.
Right. Okay? It was 11 and a half months.
Right. Get the facts straight.
Yes. So we talked to you right at the end of Ko Wrong. And you know what? That might have been maybe not a great week, not a memorable week. That might have been the week that Joe ate the meat. Pop Joe.
That's right. Pop out went sick. He had too much of the meat. Pop Joe. He just always has those dogs. He got like, I wanted his dogs passed, and then like, you know, he got a new dog. But I love Pop. Like, literally, Joe's like my Pop up on Facebook. Like, all of his posts are like the best. Like, they're literally like Pop up posts. Like, no, I love it.
I don't even think I'm friends with Joe on Facebook.
Oh my God, you're not getting those doggy updates?
No. No, I just have to get all my updates in the Survivor Facebook group, Bryce.
Oh, okay.
And how's everything with the new place? Everything's good?
Everything is great. It's amazing. I just can't stop buying stuff for it. Like, I'm like randomly out at different places. I'm like, oh, I need that. I need that. I need that. It's a wall here that I need to go. But so other than that, it's really, really, really. I mean, I just want to make sure it looks like I watch too much HGTV. So I feel like I'm like flipping this house that's already flipped.
Yes.
And I'm waiting for the cameras to come. And you know how like they buy a house and then they be like, well, we've been in here for 7 months now. And then they like, so in my mind, I'm waiting for them to come with the cameras. So every wall has to have something on it. So I'm just, you know, going through the motions.
Okay. Well, sounds like everything is going great. I know you're still running. You're in great shape.
Trying. Not great, but okay. But okay. It all works. Anybody watch my Snapchat, you know I love to show my socks and my shoes after I do a run. But yes, I'm still running. So yeah. I'm trying to, you know, just in case I get that phone call.
Ready to go for summer or for Survivor.
Okay, listen, whatever one comes first.
Whatever comes first. All right. Well, Bryce, I am very interested to hear what you have to say about everything with the Survivor Game Changers. Now, the person who really was the focus of the show last night is somebody that I imagine you know at least somewhat well, in Officer Sarah Lucina.
Yeah, that's my girl.
Yes, you've been impressed with her.
I have to say, the way that she is playing this game is top-notch detective. Now, pre-merge, I'm like, where my girl at? Like, what's going on? But post-merge, she is like, I am so impressed with her game. She is so thorough, so laid back. I mean, she really got burnt by Tony the first time. So you could tell that it's like, that burn is real because she don't want to get burnt again. Like, I was taking notes last night. Like, I can't even write nothing bad about her.
She was really good last night, even though Stephen Fishback didn't give her the fishy. That I did think that she was the focus of the whole show. This was her breakout night last night.
I concur. Absolutely.
And so what did you think that she had this in her, knowing her a little bit from Kagiyan? Like, did you look at her as somebody who just got a bad break, or do you think that she's really changed up what she's doing?
So, I mean, and as opposed to Kagiyan, like, so clearly we all know I didn't get to talk to her on Kagiyan.
Right.
But when we came home, I spent hours, like hours and hours and hours on the phone with Sarah. And she would like tell me, like, you know, she was giving me the play by play by play by play. And if I like, and that's like the Sarah that I see on this TV screen. And it's like, I really felt like in Kagiyan, because we were all newbies and like some of us got better shots than others, like I felt like her chances were a little more like she was on that road, but she got snubbed kind of shortly. And I feel like this time around, she's protecting all of her assets and she's not like letting anything slide by. So it's like, it's so great to see a Kagiyan member like going this far and actually making it, like, you know. So I'm like, ooh, I'm so proud of her. But I just get nervous because I just don't want her to put too much of like a target on her back, like last season with Michaela, when Michaela was starting to put her plan together and all of a sudden they turned to her and was like, wait a minute, she gotta go. So it makes me nervous, but like, she really is like kicking it. Like, her game plan is so reserved, but it's so, like, lethal, but it's so reserved. You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying. And it's similar to the merge in Kageyan, because you had basically a merge of that. That was a merge of 11. This has been a couple of votes now where you're down to 11. And you had Cass was the one who switched from one side to the other. Right. And now here's Sarah making a similar move, switching from one group of six to go to, or one group of five to join the other group of five. Now, after that happened, people really were on Cass for that. That Spencer said to her, "Great job, Cass. Now you have a 0% chance to win the game." People were really mad at Cass after that happened. Do you think that people will be as mad at Sarah?
I mean, I don't know. I think they will. But you have people like Zeke. You got people like Culpepper. You have people like Sierra. And I mean, I guess for this this aspect of it, like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. That's hard for me to answer. But I don't feel like that, because I feel like, and clearly they show that clip where Sarah's like, "They didn't even ask me. They just told me what was going on." Mm-hmm. So I feel like when they come back at her, she's got that ammunition to be like, "Well, I was at the bottom of your alliance anyway. So what y'all talk about? What's up?" Like, you know, so, I mean, I feel like she's still in a good position. I feel like she's going to be able to defend herself. And plus, she's got people like Michaela, who they still don't like. So she's got leverage. I feel like, I mean, whoo, I just get excited. Like, she's in a great position, but I don't want to jinx it. Like, you know, so I don't know. But in my opinion, she's in a great position.
But just going back to the Cass thing, I don't remember people like really saying like, "Oh my God, Cass, what a great move." I feel like the people are higher on what Sarah did than what Cass did at that point.
Come on, Rod. Now, let's just be clear. Well, first of all, it's not a box wine night. It's actually a bottle wine night tonight. Ooh. So, yes, listen, it's a pay week is tomorrow. So let's just be clear. And when we're talking about Sarah and we're talking about Cass, I love Cass with all my heart. But let's be clear. Cass is a different type of player than Sarah. So the fact how Cass moved in Kageyan, a tad bit sloppy and a tad bit messy. How Sarah is moving is calculated and precise. So there's a way different approach. So if you want to be sloppy and messy, then of course you want to have people like Spencer coming back talk about, "Girl, you got a 0% chance." But if you moving how Sarah is moving, like she moved last night, I mean, that, like, she's setting herself up. Like, girl, that's on your resume. That's on your survivor resume. Check. So I feel like it's a difference in how they're moving and how they're playing. So I feel like this is going to work in the benefit of Sarah, as opposed to, like, Cass just jumping shit last minute for no reason, pissing people off. So I feel like they're playing two different ways, even though the moves are very similar.
Did you like the move that she made to go after Debbie from that group last night?
Rob, do you know who my favorite player in the whole wide world is on Survivor? It's Miss Cerie Fields. So absolutely, I'm going to agree with that, because now she's aligning with my mother.
I know. I know you love Cerie. I know you love Cerie. We're going to talk all about Cerie. I just wanted to know, did you like Debbie being the target to go on that side?
Listen, if it's on Cerie Fields' side, then yes, I'm going with it. Because mind you, Debbie was getting a little too cocky for me. Personally,
Debbie was pretty confident was going on.
Did you see the way she talked to? Oh my God, I had to stop and rewind it. Did you see when she was talking to Aubrey, like, "We're voting for Michaela, and you are a very smart girl, and I think that you should vote for her." And Aubrey was like, "Okay," and she was like, "Yeah, I know, because you'd be dumb not to do it." Like, excuse me, ma'am, who are you talking to like that? So, yeah, I think as much as I love Debbie as a player, you know, girl, but this season, what was she, a gymnast? She was a firefighter. She was a combat warrior.
Yeah.
She was and then a captain. So, I mean, I'm glad we got to add to her resume. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of my things, I'm not sad to see Debbie go. She made the merge. She's on, like, you know, the jewelry. So kudos to her. But in my, like, fantasy of my world, I'm like, I wasn't mad at it at all.
In terms of Debbie, did you have a chance to listen to anything she said in the exit interviews today?
So I have not. I was, like, a little busy at work today. So that's, like,
no problem.
Okay.
So in talking to Debbie, one of the things that she told me, I asked her about the whole Brad Culpepper situation where she was going off on Brad. And she says that while there were things that she was upset about, she said a lot of that was theater because she didn't want people to know how close her and Brad were. Mm-hmm. Are you buying that?
I mean, it's Debbie, so I don't know what to buy. I felt like when she was going off, like when they were on the Sierra Brad Heard, that tribe, and she was going off, going crazy, and he was just sitting right there. I mean, I thought he handled his cool extremely, extremely well, given his like last time he played. So maybe that adds a little validity to like what they're saying, because he wasn't really losing his cool as much as I would have or somebody else would have. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I can get that a little validity, but I didn't get what was the point of that. They already know you got, it's y'all three, you, Brad, Sierra, and Debbie. So I don't, what's the point of hiding that at this point?
Yeah, I buy it a little bit. I think that sometimes with the TV show, we sort of just get to see a lot of the kooky side of somebody like Debbie, but we don't really get to see when they're not being kooky because it's not as good TV. So they come off as a lot nuttier on the show.
Right.
And it's probably somewhere in between, like when they say she's like, oh no, I'm totally rational. And then we see this like really nutty person on the show. It's so hard from the edited show to get where the truth is in that.
I can agree. I can agree to that. However, I still don't see the point of like downplaying you guys' relationship when like after you guys made up, you've been as thick as thieves. So, but I mean, I don't, you know, I guess if that's what she say,
that's
I
what
believe
she said.
Her. Right. Okay. Well, all right.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into talking about Ceri. And from the first time I ever talked to you, you talked about your love of Ceri and how Miss Ceri Field, that was your inspiration for going on the show. You love Ceri. Now, have you met Ceri?
So I'm so pissed off, right? No. Andrea and Meg, they had an event last weekend in New York, and I was supposed to go. I had a run in the morning and I was supposed to work a shift. I worked like part-time at a hospital. And anyway, somebody called out and I got mandated to stay. I can't, like, so pissed. So, like, whatever. I wasn't able to make the event. And then I'm on social media.
Yeah.
And I see that my good old girl Serena popped up at this New York event, and I'm assuming she didn't mention it to me because I'm assuming she knew that I was going to be there. So she was trying to do a pop up on the old boy, and I'm at work. Oh my God, no! So we have not met, but we have been texting extensively. And Ceri knows how much I love her, and I just cannot wait to the moment that I meet Ceri Fields. Ooh, I can't wait. I'm getting excited thinking about it. Hopefully sometime soon, since she's on this new season. So she'll probably be doing this circuit of like charities and fundraisers. And although I'm like at the bottom of the bottom of, you know, survivor people that they want to bring to these charities, hopefully our paths will cross soon.
Okay. And you're at the top of anything we're doing, Bryce.
Okay.
Now, in terms of Ceri last night, she had this really emotional moment in the episode, and a lot of people wanted to ask you about this. So here is a question. This is from the Haley That Sucks.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Rob. What's up? It's the Haley That Sucks from New Brunswick, and I'm calling in to ask a quick question about Ceri. So in the episode, we hear a lot about how Ceri is the woman who got off the couch and played Survivor, the woman who got up and finished the challenge. What was all that about? Why do we need the inspirational / motivational speech thing from Ceri? I don't get it. Can you explain that to me? Thanks.
Oh.
Bye.
Bryce, a lot of the episode was about this moment where Ceri needed to finish the challenge. What did you think of all of that?
Well, first of all, I don't know if I like the tone of that question when it comes to mother. They need to respect the queen. And I'm not talking Sandra, I'm talking Ceri. So let's just bring it back a little bit. So this is what, Ceri's fourth time playing.
Mm-hmm.
Saree has never been, no shade, just put that out there real quick. She's never been a physical component. She's never been a physical threat. And Saree's always been a strategic threat. And I believe the last time she played, she didn't even make the merge because they was like, oh no, we gotta get her out, but whatever. And I believe, if I can't remember, I was trying to like find it, but I couldn't. The second time that she played, I believe there was a challenge, and I don't think it was like an immunity challenge. It was like a reward challenge where she kind of just gave up. Like, she didn't even, like, she was like, whatever. So I just think that this goes to the whole reason as to why many people fell in love with Saree, because Saree is like a real, like, now we're all real people, so that's like, we're all real people, but she's like a real, like, how, and how I relate to Saree is like, Saree reminds me of an aunt that I have. Like, I mean, they're like spot on.
Not Aunt Cece, right?
Not Aunt Cece. This is the aunt I'm talking about. Her name's Aunt Cece. No, seriously, that's her name. But she reminds me of my mom's sister, Aunt Cece. And it's just like, you know, to be out here, that, like, you know, to hold down the fort, to be a mother of three, to go out and do Survivor, to step out on your element, to have never won, and to have gotten to this point, it just is like, it's just an inspirational moment. Just like when y'all was all sad, when Joe England passed out, and almost like, you know, y'all was all like, oh, well, this is one of them type of moments for us. That, like, there's this black woman, you know, that we don't really get to see positive images of black women every day. I'm taking it there. And it's like, here's this woman that, like, all her life, you know, she's been holding it down, had young children at a very young age, you know, working. And it's like, it's just like to just push yourself. And it can apply to everybody. Anybody that's in school, midterm, semester's coming up. You like, damn it, I can't study for this test. No, study for it. Push yourself. Anybody that's working at a job, like, you know, I need this promotion, I'ma just give up. No, don't ever give up on your dreams. And I just think that it's one of those moments, and it kind of touched me because it's like, you know, I want to play Survivor again. So no, Bryce, don't give up on your dreams. Answer Rob's phone call when he called you. So I just think it just goes to Saree and just her whole thing of being somebody that's like, not when we think of Survivor, there's like the Boston Robs, there's the Joe England, there's the Rodney has a body. Like, you know, you think of these physically fit, aesthetically, like, you know, perfect people. And then it's like somebody like Saree that's like maybe not so physically fit, but is like embodies everything that Survivor is. So I just felt like for last night, for, you know, the community, I just felt like it was one of those moments where, like, she could have just gave up. But the fact that her teammates came and swarmed around her, you know, I just thought it was a beautiful moment. However, I got a little nervous because I'm like, oh, snap. I really hope they don't turn this moment into, we got to get rid of Saree because who's going to want to sit next to this?
Yeah.
Like, and the final three, and that's what Saree's problem has always been, is that, like, she can make the merge, and once it get down to seven, they are like, we got to get her out, because literally, who would want to sit next to her? I mean, I would, but I'm just saying, like, they're not going to want to sit next to Saree because her story is just so powerful, and I think that last night's episode was just a testament of that, what someone else can bring to Survivor besides, like, strength and besides all of that. Like, she really encompasses something in her life that even as she's played Survivor four times, she's still on a journey and she still has things in her life that she needs to prove. And to me, it was just a beautiful moment. But I don't mean to go on and on, because no, I can go on and on and on.
You make great points. And I hear everything you're saying. You make a great case for why it should be in there. But to me, I watched it back today, and it did eat up a lot of the episode. But let me hear me out. Okay. Saree, I feel like, could have just been like, when they ask her about this, they ask her,
Saree, you are the woman who over a decade ago got up off the couch to come try this game Survivor. These are the moments you were looking for. This challenge is over, but we will stay here with you if you want to try to conquer this.
First off, I'd be like, no, I would not. No, thank you, Jeff. Okay? I'm ready to go back to the beach now.
But I was nervous. I'm like, girl, don't fall off that palace thing.
Right. Right.
But, okay.
Okay, but if I'm Saree, I think I might say, Jeff, I am Saree Mother Effin Fields, okay? I don't need to walk over a balance beam to prove to anybody about why I should be here, okay? That I have beaten out all these other people that could walk over this balance beam in their sleep. I don't need to walk across a balance beam to be damn good at this game. I'm one of the greatest players of all time. Don't reduce me to some participation trophy award moment. I am a great Survivor player, whether I walk over this balance beam or not.
So, wait, comment. Is that just a refill's voice that right there will be just heard?
No, that wasn't anybody's voice. I wasn't doing an impression.
Okay. No. All right. Just checking. So, but here's my thing. And here's, in my opinion, and I don't know because I ain't talked to Ceree about this episode yet, but what a great moment. This is how, am I, well, mind you, you know I'm super biased, so you just can't come to me with Ceree and just think I'm going to shut up. But here's my, and how I also took it. I had a little screening at my home last night as well. I felt like that was a strategic move from her because in reality, why wouldn't you just be like, Jeff, boy, go ahead, send that boat and let's go. However, she was the reason that her tribe lost a reward challenge, right? Yes, check. These are the type of moments that they start to be like, we need to get rid of her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, any, they use any excuse. So why not soak in this moment a little bit more if it's going to get people to be like, oh, Ceree, we love you. So in my mind, I felt like it was a personal victory and a strategic move because if Jeff's going to put you out there like that, well, shoot, let me just kind of play on it a little bit more and have these people going with me.
So that's a great point. Because you're right that everybody was about to be like, oh, I can't believe Ceree blew it. We're about, we could be eating sandwiches right now. We were going to go and drink soda. Oh, Ceree, I can't believe it. You screwed this whole thing up. But the only thing that I didn't like about it that I felt like after it was over, that it made me feel like that people were like pitying her of like, you did it. You did it. You did it. Like they were talking to her like she was like a baby. Well, and this is one of the all time greats. To me, I just didn't like how we like reduced her into like what should this matter for her that she is in a position maybe where she could come out and win this thing after already being one of the all-time greatest players. And I've called her the greatest player to never win the game. You know, why should we care about, you know, that she can walk across the balance beam now? She was tired because she can't swim. That's why the problem was. I don't think a balance beam is like conquering her biggest fear. I understand, you know, that this was a tough spot for her, but I just didn't like that they really made it. Let's like only look at her through the prism of whether or not she can get across a balance beam.
But, and I think it's something deeper though. I agree with you, but I'm going to beg to differ in regards to like, we all go out for to play Survivor for, of course, $1 million. But this game, when we're out there, whether it's 9 days, because or whether it's 39 days, like we all go out there for something. And I think that like this game, it teaches us something. And I just think it speaks to the beauty of the game, because although it's a stupid, dumb challenge, whatever, just send the boat, pick me up. But you really want to complete it for yourself. So I felt like it was something personal to Ceree. And I was happy that Mr. Jeffrey could tap in on that. And, you know, did they spend a lot of time on it? Yes. But to me, did I love every moment of it? Yes. So was it a win-win for me? Absolutely.
They did do a really nice job with it in terms of the music and everything. Like they made it into a moment.
I absolutely agree. But I'm like, sidebar, if I won or not, Jeffrey, you gonna send a boat for me anyway. I'm not swimming back all the way back here. Stop playing.
Yeah. Well, good. Let me ask you about that because I have a question for you about Jeff sending the boat. This is from Macca from Australia.
Hey. Hey, Rob. It's Macca here from Australia. My question is about the Ceree moment at the challenge. Personally, I wasn't really a big fan of it.
Oh, my God.
It felt pretty forced and Probes was really trying to turn it into this big, epic, you can do anything moment. But I was wondering, is it possible that he was just trying to stall the challenge as much as he could so that he could give Michaela or, you know, whoever else more time to spot the advantage? What do you think? Thanks.
Okay, I've heard this theory a couple of times from different people on social media. Do you think there's any chance that Jeff was just trying to stall so somebody would see the advantage?
I don't think so, because there's been plenty of times where there was no clue for this advantage, and there's been plenty of challenges when the clue doesn't get found. And I also feel like I don't agree with that. And I also don't like the tone of his question with Sari again. No, I think it was a monumental moment. There's plenty of moments that I could go back on and be like, oh my God, why are they doing this? Like, who cares? But listen, come on. When it comes to Sari, I go into mama bear mode protecting her cub because Sari is my cub, even though she's mother. But yeah.
That's confusing.
But listen, and it's not, and let's turn that into a moment, right? Like, play some, like, you know, but no, but seriously, I feel like it really was, I don't feel like they did that because I don't know how Sarah spotted that. That ain't nothing. That's the cop eyes in her. But I felt like any tribe that lost, they were going to get the boat to come pick them up. So I don't necessarily agree with that theory. And being a survivor that has played Survivor, and you know that, like, there is no script to Jeff, and that he goes, like, you know, he goes off of, like, his own little, like, whatever is inside of Jeffrey. I don't know why I keep calling him Jeffrey today, but he's all non-scripted. Like, I remember when I first played and we did Kagiana, we came off the boat, and I remember I was, like, in awe. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm standing in front of Jeff. He's speaking. And he's, like, talking for 20 minutes. And I'm like, it's no teleprompters out here. No. It's like, you know, and he's really just like, and welcome to season 28, Kagi. Like, so I really just think it was, like, it. I really think it happened organically. And, you know, Sari has played 4 times, so he has a lot of information in regards to Sari. She's won fan favorite twice. So I just feel like that. I don't think that they stalled it for to get somebody to get the clue. But, like, sucks for Michaela not to look at that clue. But I, in retrospect, I don't know how she would have saw it if she's, like, sitting on the bench looking out and not, like, I don't think I would have been looking down, like, what's going on over here. But I mean, again, that's probably why I was voted out the, you know, 9 days. So I don't know. It's a lot of theories.
I think that the part about Sari walking across the balance beam, I don't think that had anything to do with the hidden advantage, but right, maybe the part about where Jeff says, well, I'm not going to make you guys swim all the way back. I'll just bring a boat over here. I think that that might have been, okay, let's just bring the boat over by where the advantage is, because if Michaela's not going to grab it, let's give somebody else a chance to see it.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll agree with that.
Maybe that part. And I think for Michaela, yeah, you're right. She's not going to see it if it's underneath the thing. The only way I think she could have seen it is if she saw it, like, when she climbed up on it. Yeah, that's
right.
The only
and
thing.
She probably was so hot that she didn't get picked.
Yeah,
so
she was mad. She was mad.
Real mad.
Okay. Here, let me just ask you one other thing about Sari with the balance beam. This is from Owen.
Oh my God. Please keep it cute, Owen.
Hey, Rob. Owen from Connecticut here. Is Jeff letting Sari try the balance beam until she finally crossed it, kind of like how he let Boston Rob try Survivor until he finally won?
Come on, Owen, stop it. That's not what happened. Stop it.
Okay, first of all, to y'all voicemailers, I don't like this Sari shade, okay? I thought it was a beautiful moment, okay? So let's keep it cute.
Okay, here, let's talk about Michaela being mad at not being picked. This is from Rochelle from Canada.
Hi, it's Rochelle phoning from Canada. I'm wondering why Michaela was not chosen during the reward challenge. Do you think it's because Sari didn't want to let on how close she was to Michaela? Do you think this was the right decision? Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, Bryce. So that's been a big question people have had. Why didn't Michaela get picked to be in the reward challenge? We know how good she is at these challenges from last season and from some of the things that she's been able to do this season. So what do you think it was?
Well, I think clearly Culpepper was a leader, right? So clearly we see in this episode that Culpepper don't like her. So I think that that was the point. And I think maybe, I don't know. I don't know. That's a hard one. And I don't know why Sari wouldn't pick her. Because I guess she wouldn't want to pick her first to let on how close they are. And then, but we didn't really get to see how the numbers played out and who was the last. But I felt like, I don't know. But we clearly know why Culpepper didn't pick her, because Culpepper and them don't like her.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about this idea that she wanted to keep somebody back at camp? If her side won the reward, she would have a spy back there, where Brad Culpepper said, hey, this is Survivor 101. I left Troyzanne and I left Sierra off my team so I could split up and make sure there was no funny business going on.
I think that that would be an absolutely great idea in regards to Ciri. Like, I'm not going to pick her. So whatever team she falls on, like, if they win, they'll go and she'll be there. And if I win, so I think that that in Ciri's mind was thinking. And then when it came down to it, it was like, well, shoot, you just stay there. And if I win, you won't go. But if I lose, you'll just be back with me. So, I mean, I kind of agree with that statement. But, I mean, I don't know why, because if I was Ciri, I would have wanted Michaela, because she, like, Michaela is a beast at these challenges. So she would have been great.
You know, it's interesting to me in terms of like picking those, the captains where you have to then pick all the people that's going to be on the teams. Like if Ciri knows that she's going to have trouble with a swimming challenge, I wonder if she was sort of like, oh my God, like if her heart sank when she was the captain. I wonder if she would be like David Wright last season where he's like, hey, could I volunteer to be the person who sits out of this challenge? Because Ciri probably is going to end up being the person who doesn't get picked if she's not one of the captains. And I feel like that she was probably saying like, okay, I don't want to be in the position where the tribe is counting on me to ultimately win this thing.
And also, you can flip it the same way, because it's like, at this point in time, well, they're still doing these group immunity challenges, but this is for reward. But when it comes down to individual immunity challenge, nobody's going to be like, oh, we need to get Ciri off because she's a physical threat. So I mean, at the same time, again, to me, that's a win-win for Ciri. It's like, girl, almost don't almost Tasha Fox it, but get, you know, bitch, let them know, little bloop, 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 you know, let them know you having some trouble so that you're not seen as a threat. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a hard thing out there to look at it, but I do feel like if I were Ciri, a.k.a. the cub, because right now I'm the mama bear, so she wouldn't be the mama bear, she'd be the cub. So if I was the cub and not the mama bear right now, I probably would have picked Michaela, because, like, you just never know. But little do we know, Ciri wouldn't have never made it across, so it wouldn't have mattered. So maybe Ciri knew that. Well, then, I don't know. So maybe Ciri knew that, like, oh, shoot. She saw the obstacle course and was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. So let me not pick Michaela so that she'll be on the winning tribe. But then Brad Culpepper didn't pick her. So right. Maybe I feel like that is the more logical thinking of the baby cub Ciri right now.
Well, maybe she was saying like, oh, my side is probably not going to win. Let me not pick Michaela so Michaela doesn't chew me out when we get back to camp.
True.
Doesn't want Michaela blowing up on her. You, hey, Ciri, you cost us the challenge.
Right. But it was like Michaela's emotions during that challenge. I can't. Like, Michaela is a character.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Come on, Ciri.
Yeah, I mean, for the Secret Alliance, I mean, Michaela was cheering for Ciri in the challenge.
And she was cheering for other people, but like seemingly reluctantly. It just reminded me of myself, like when I have an attitude and like I choose not to do something and my friends do it and they're having fun. So then I have to act like I'm happy for them having fun. So you got to pretend like that was so me last night in like every aspect of my life when something doesn't go my way.
Bryce, I have a question for you about Michaela and Ciri working together. This is from Matt in D.C.
Okay, keep it cute, Matt.
Hey, guys, this is Matt Price in D.C. Bryce, I had a question for you. I know that in the past you've been vocal about how people of color very often, you know, either get voted off pre-merge or aren't really accepted fully into their tribe. I did notice that someone commented that this was the first season where two African-American women made it to the jury. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Additionally, I know Michaela is someone who really seems on the outs, and I wonder if you see any of those same sort of factors at play. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. Thanks. Bye.
Now, we've gotten this story this season about the mentor relationship that Ciri and Michaela have had going into the merge. And I'm sure this is something that you're excited about, right?
Hello.
Yes.
Absolutely. I love it. Absolutely. Love it. Well, first of all, you know, I love Ciri. I love Michaela. I think Michaela is like everything, you know, that it needs to be. But it does bother me that Michaela's on the out. And like, you know, again, I just don't like to pull the race card with certain things, but it's like, you got somebody like Debbie who we see that is like so Debbie in a way, but it doesn't seem that she gets to be penalized from her castaways, but then you have somebody like Michaela who, like, all you get to see is them nitpicking at her and this and that, and Saree, like, trying to pull her in. But I absolutely love this alliance. Like, you know, it kind of reminds me of, like, Tasha Fox and Jatia a little bit. But this is post-merge. So I think at this point in time, I love it. I think that Michaela is a wild card. And although that, you know, you only hear negative things about Michaela from the Power Six at this point. Well, child, I should call them the Power Five at this point. Mm-hmm. But that makes her a wild card, because it's like, then again, it's like, well, that's more of a reason you want to sit next to Michaela, somebody that's been annoying, somebody that you don't like, somebody that is this and that. So I really love Michaela, and I really think that, like, I absolutely agree. Michaela is a game changer. I just feel like, you know, she is still growing up into her adult life. And I feel like this, again, Survivor is like a growing point for you. And the Michaela that I know and that I have the opportunity of, like, speaking with is not like this. But, you know, the circumstances that they put you out on Survivor is something completely different that where no one is ever aware of. But I love this power African-American black girl magic that they have together. And I love the fact that Saree pulling Michaela in, like, listen, girl, check yourself, boo. Like, you got to get information. Okay, ladies, now let's get information. I love Saree pulling her and getting into her formation. But it just worries me, because it's like, I don't foresee them both making it to the end. But I love the dynamic that they have. But clearly, you see, like, I mean, in my own opinion, and maybe I'm biased because I'm a black gay man, but I look at those things and I see them nitpicking at Michaela. But I'm not there, so I don't know what it's like to be there. But I feel like, of course, they're super hard on her. Then, like, you're living with, like, you know, Debbie. You've got Zeke, a constant flip-flopper, you know, constantly trying to make a power move and, like, pissing people off. But yet people are still pulling Zeke in to work with Zeke. But yet Michaela is, like, left out. You would think that, like, she would be the person that she'd be like, girl, come here, listen to what I got to say. And, like, so, I mean, I do think it's interesting. And I do think Survivor is, like, I don't know the term because I am on, like, my second glass of wine, but, like, a small, like, ecosystem of the world.
Right.
And, like, you know, sometimes, like, a strong black woman like Michaela is put off by others. And I think that, like, you know, so I think that that's kind of what we're seeing here in a super, 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 super smaller scale. But I mean, in my opinion, that's what I see. But I absolutely, to see Saree and Michaela, like, my old boo. And, well, I feel like I'm a mama bear with two cubs right now, because now I got Saree and Michaela that I'm, like, super protective of, that I, like, absolutely love to watch. And I haven't had the opportunity to meet Michaela yet. We've talked on the phone, like, several times and multiple. So, I mean, that's my boo. So I love it right now. So, but as each episode goes on, I get a little more nervous. And, you know, Mama Bear don't like watching when her babies are at Jeopardy. So it's just, you know, makes me nervous.
Bryce, is it fair to say that somebody like Michaela needs to work twice as hard at the social game because of she is somebody who's different from so many of the other players in the game, where you have Saree, who's one of the just all-time greats at the social game, and that's why she's able to excel in this environment. Somebody like Jeremy as well, people that are just so exceptionally gifted at the social game, they're able to overcome being different.
Absolutely. I think she has to work triple as hard. But, like, let me take it back to last season. So when she got voted out, and I forget who it was that said it, but when she was legitimately for her tribe and for the people that she was with, and she pulled out those rocks and were like, listen, it's a numbers game. And we move here and we move here. And I think the comment was, oh, she's too smart. She's this smart. Like, what? Like, this is Survivor. It's a numbers game. This is what we're all doing. And she got voted out because she was too smart of a threat. And now here we are this season, and it's like, oh, she's annoying, she's this and she's that. And I think she's just being who she is and being real. And I, you know, I always thought being real and being true to the game, that it gets you far, but clearly it only gets you far when you're in the numbers. So I'm sure if, like, Michaela was in the Culpepper a lot, like, I mean, it's just like, you don't hear Culpepper talking about Debbie like this. Like, so it's just like, it just is, it, you know, you just kind of open your eyes to a little bit of those things. But I'm sure if Michaela was in the alliance of Sierra, Culpepper, and Debbie, I doubt that they would be finding her so annoying and so whatever. But because she is so expendable, like the littlest things like get so annoying. I can remember like when I was playing Survivor and like the randomest thing that like, mind you, because again, I was only there for 9 days, but... The last three nights, I don't know how I got ended up sleeping with like Jeremiah, like next to me on the end. And like every morning, Jeremiah will wake up and go, oh, good morning, with his like, oh, stank morning breath. Like, oh my God. Like, and so that would like annoy me about Jeremiah. So it's like, you have to remember, like when you're out there, like the most stupidest stuff will like piss you off. And at that point in time, like, well, I mean, was Gerald, I don't know, was I guess he was in my alliance, but I don't know what alliance that was because I went home. So, but you know what I'm just saying? So I know that like the little bit of things like her eating that coconut and they're like, oh my God, all she does is eat. Like just the little bit
of
things.
She eats all the sugar. She puts so much sugar in her coffee.
What did JT say to her, sugar girl or baby girl? I don't know, but yeah, baby girl or what did he say something to her?
I don't remember his exact quote.
Right. But so that like, you know, so I mean, I am super sympathetic to Michaela because I know what it is to be a minority, a double minority out there and like having to like, you know, watch out and watch every move. So, I mean, it's hard. But clearly, as you see at Tribal, she doesn't care. And I think that at this point, it's almost like her gameplay is like, I'm gonna be me. I'm gonna do me. And if you don't like it, oh, well, because at the end of the day, it gives you more ammunition to want to sit next to me at the end. And that's what you need to be thinking about. Like, you need to be thinking about the next game, but also at this point in time, you have to be looking at your end game and who you're trying to sit next to.
Let me ask you another question about Michaela. We talked about her eating last night. This is a question from Nick.
We've now seen Michaela sip tea at Tribal Council and eat coconut. Which prop would you like to see her utilize next?
Yeah. Does she have another prop, something that she could pull out of her bag of tricks, Bryce?
I think so. I think she needs a fan, girl. She needs to get one of them palm fronds. I think next Tribal Council will be a palm frond because she is just like, and I noticed that last night. I'm like, is old baby girl popping some coconut at Tribal? Love it. Absolutely love everything about her. So, girl, make them palm fronds for next episode because she needs to whip out a shade fan, okay?
Mm-hmm, that would be good. She can faint. Yeah, it'll be good. Yes. She'll get the vapors.
Yeah. When they start throwing that shade, whip that bad boy out.
Okay. So now, some people said, okay, well, Michaela, a game changer. How did she change the game? This is, I think, what she's done. This is her game changer calling card. She's the first person to bring props to Tribal Council. And I wonder if in the future you will have like two people from like the opposite alliances, like they both think they're getting a blind side, you'll have like dueling props going on. And one person will look stupid.
I don't know. And people have asked me that, like, why do you think Michaela is a game changer? I think absolutely. First of all, I'm for anybody not making a merge, coming back, wink, wink, gobble, gobble, kiss, kiss,
gobble,
wave,
gobble.
Wave. I don't know. I was thinking about being Mama Bear mode. So I definitely think she's a game changer. And just in regards that she was such a physical threat and that she went out so early and she was on the last season. So, and like, you know, a lot of people were upset at her leaving. But I mean, I don't know where I was going with that. But, you know,
but she's a game changer to you.
She's a game changer. Yes, absolutely.
Well, I think that the prop thing really could catch on. I'm interested to see if we end up seeing that in more seasons or if they sort of production is like, hey, let's knock it off. Let's nip this in the bud.
Right. Well, as for Michaela, I don't think so. I think we're going to see some palm fronds or I don't know what else we could see because child, she had a teacup, like not just the water keg. She had the teacup. She was sipping the tizzy.
Well, that was perfect because JT was accusing her of everything right. With the coffee. That really worked. The popcorn, I think that was just a little bit more of a stretch. Yeah. You know, get her popcorn ready, but it didn't have anything to do with Debbie.
Well, I mean, Debbie thought that like Andrew was going home, i.e. lying, telling people that Michaela was going home. And you know how Michaela feels about her name being thrown around even when it's not the real target.
She doesn't like it.
Right, not at all. So I think that that was perfect for her to send Miss Old Debbie on her way. So now she can go to Ponderosa and now she can be an expert at Ponderosa.
She knows everything about Ponderosa.
Right.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the immunity challenge last night. This is a question from Peter, and he wants to get your take on Ty's performance last night.
Hey, Robin Bryce. It's Peter the Great from Boston. Is there any chance that Ty was throwing that challenge after he outdueled the great Aussie in the pole sitting challenge? I'm hoping to get a ding-ka-ching for this answer. Thanks. Have a good one.
Okay, now Ty was struggling last night with all due respect. Jeff was calling him out. Here is Ty from the immunity challenge.
Ty is now down on the ground.
How I'm doing.
Realizing he headed out without a block.
he really was very confused, and he's done this challenge before. Here's Ty again.
Ty still struggling, trying to make sure he's spelling immunity right.
I can't think.
Do you think, Bryce, is it possible that Ty was trying to throw everybody off after he won an immunity challenge last week?
Absolutely not. I think we need to remember that English is Ty's second language. I think Ty knows like four languages. And so I honestly think that like he was having trouble spelling immunity. And so like he wanted to be like double, triple sure. So I just think that that was like a language barrier. And those always like, that's what I was like worried about, because I'm not the best speller, as a lot of y'all can see from my tweets. But like I always am like, oh my God, they're going to have me spell like prescription. And I'm like not going to be able to spell it. So I just definitely think that he was maybe a little self-conscious and wanted to ensure that he was spelling immunity. And during that challenge, I like paused the TV and was like spelling immunity in my head to see like if I would be able to like spell it, like just grab a letter off the fly and start running. So I think that he was just maybe a little insecure in regards to his English spelling, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, in fairness to Ty here, so I had a chance to do this challenge. I went to they had this thing called the EW Pop Fest, and they were running a bunch of the Survivor challenges. So the John Kierhofer set things up, and there was a few people from LA that were there. Ozzy was there. Ty himself was actually there, and a couple of other people. And I had the chance to do this challenge. It was me against some girl that they had from the crowd, who she beat me, and it wasn't close. But I was going very slow because I saw how Sydney did it, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna be like Sydney. I'm gonna do it that way. But the girl just went so fast, and then she ended up winning. But it's not only that you have to spell the word immunity. You have to spell it backwards.
Backwards.
Yeah.
Right.
So spell immunity starting with the Y. It's like getting pulled over by the police and you have to like say the alphabet backwards.
Right.
Do they do that? And I don't know. Or that is that only if your license plate registration is expired?
But the normal person that drives down the road would not know if the car in front of them's registration tags are expired or not. I would.
Yeah, Officer Sarah is going to ask me to spell immunity backwards.
But listen, let me tell you about something about this. My my license, my tags expire in April, and I don't have a and I don't have an appointment until 2 weeks. So I'm about to be driving dirty in Philly for the next 2 weeks. So Sarah, don't come my way, okay? Please and thank you.
I would.
But right.
She's coming.
I know. No, I can't have it. But and for fairness for Ty, if you watched it, what he was trying to do was spell immunity backwards so that he would just like, I mean, I thoroughly analyzed this last night. He spelled immunity and then he was like putting it down backwards so that he would just have to run and grab the letters. And I think in the process he got confused. But come on, y'all know I love me some Ty Ty. So, and not to mention he's got two freaking idols that like I think people only know about one. So I'm definitely guessing Ty has to make it. And I mean, because they started it at 11, so I'm thinking it's probably going to be a final two. I don't know.
Final two, you think?
I'm thinking final two because what's her name? Haley, she's like the first on the jury, and I didn't think that she was going to make the jury because you know how sometimes they be doing that trickery, and I would be pissed if we made the merge and I get voted out and I'm not on the jury. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking it might be a final two. I don't know. You think final three?
Yeah, I don't think that we're going to have an 11-person jury. That's a lot of people on the jury. Because they have started the jury at 13. I mean, the last couple seasons have been a final three with a 10-person jury. I mean, that's what I think Jeremy had, and that's what I think they did in for Adam in Millennials versus Gen X. I think Ko Rong was the one that was different.
But it's game changers, and they keep switching up.
I guess so. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know. It could be anything.
Cochran might pop up on that jewelry. You never know. So
yeah, he might pop up. Okay, let me ask you this question that a lot of the Survivor fans are talking about. This is from Podrick Racer.
Hey, Robin Bryce. Podcast Racer here. Do you think there are too many advantages in the game right now? Are we headed towards an advantage Armageddon? An advantage Mageddon, if you will? Could we end up with a tribal where nobody gets voted out on the first round because all the votes are canceled one way or another?
Well, that's a great point. And if you peeped on, I forget what episode it was, Rob said it's no ties. And I mean, Rob. Jeffrey said it's no ties. So they would then have to draw rocks. So, and I think that's kind of what the CBSs are producing. But forget about the advantages. Am I like, this is like the most food these participants have ever been like. It's food every episode. Like, are y'all starving out there? I mean, every episode they're getting like loads and loads and loads and loads of food. Forget the advantages. It's about the food, baby.
There's a lot of food right now.
There's a lot of food. It's a, you know how they doing the thing, ISSA. It's a lot of food, and it's a lot of advantages. No, and I think that's a great point, because you got...
What is that, ISSA? Doing that?
Oh, my God. It's a... So you know how you per guy, it's A, but you change it to it's a. So you just say anything, like, you know, when Nicole getting on your nerves, you be like, it's a lot going, like, so that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of idols out there. It's a lot of
food
going out there. Yes, you got to use that, ISSA.
It's a lot of Twitter idols and advantages also right now.
I wasn't ready for that.
No, nobody was. So do you think we could get to a scenario where, I mean, especially with the people that are on the other side now, so if this new six holds, then you have Troyzan has an idol, Ty has two idols.
Two.
Yeah.
Sierra has an advantage.
Right.
Sarah has an advantage.
But even with that side, if the six knew, okay, we're going to put our votes on somebody, they could put an idol out of three out of the four people. Now it's like a real shell game of if Ty gives an idol to somebody else in that alliance, right. Troyzan has his idol, that whole side plays their idols. It would be really tricky to find the person that doesn't have the idol.
That's a good point. That's crazy.
Yeah. A lot of stuff going on.
Plus you got Tony's spy shack that hasn't been used yet. So, I mean, you never know what somebody could do with that as well, too. Yeah.
Talk to me about Tony, too. So what was your thought about Tony coming back this season and how he did?
It's a lot.
It's a lot of stuff.
So I love Tony. I'm not sure what was going on with Tony. I think that Tony was, I don't know if I'm using this word right, but overzealous.
Overzealous.
And I just think that, I just think that he came out swinging and, you know, reading Sandra's interviews in regards to her wanting to work with the winners. And if the winners didn't want to work with her, she was going to be gunning for them. And I think that Tony, being like a fan of the show, I don't think he like counted on the credit of like Sandra being like a really great and strong player. So I'm not sure what Tony was doing. I love Tony with all my heart. But yeah, that was a lot. And I didn't understand his, like, you're underground, like, but you didn't even dig deep enough to get. So I don't know what Tony was doing. I think that, like, you know, I think he thought it was like Kagyan part two. Mm-hmm. And this is not Kagyan part two. This is Kagyan fan versus favorites, heroes versus villains. This is first season. This is millennials, blood versus water, times 100.
How do you think it would have gone if we would have gotten to the point where Officer Sarah and Tony were on the same beach?
I don't think that that would have been good, because I think at that point in time, it would have, like, I honestly think it would have been one, they would have been gunning for each other. Tony would have obviously been wanting Sarah, and Sarah would have been wanting Tony, because I know that they didn't, like, you know, end up on great terms. And so, but I mean, look who prevailed. Tony's gone and Sarah's still in there, and still in charge. So I think that that speaks volumes. I think Tony played a great game. I'm just not really sure what Tony, I don't know what Tony's game plan was. That was just, it's a confusing when you think about it, because it's just like, I'm just, you know, but that was very much him and Kagyan. And I think the issue is that I think Tony forgot that, like, everyone watched him play that way. Everyone watched him play that, you know, kind of crazy, psychotic, like all over the place. And I think that they was like, it's not going to work this time. And you won't have to go home. So, but I mean, it was fun to watch him a little bit. But I love Tony. His family's beautiful. His daughters are so cute. But yeah, so.
Yeah, I love Tony too. But I think it was probably a good thing for Sarah that she was able to be more under the radar without having like a public confrontation with Tony. Like either she worked with Tony and then she's like guilty by association to whatever he's up to, or right. She's sort of like getting into it with him. And that's probably putting more heat on her than she would have wanted at that point in the game.
Right. But I couldn't even, and I love Tony, but I can't see Tony in this merge. Like, these players are too advanced for like what Tony would have been trying to do, if you know what I mean. Like, I just don't, like, Tony would have been like enemy number one if he made the merge, just because of just how his game plan is like to confuse and to like attack. And I don't think that this group would have been, I mean, maybe he could have worked with Jeff Varner. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. So yeah, but I don't know. It was a lot, but sad to see Tony go. But you know, I love Tony.
Okay. This is an interesting theory that we've been following this season. This is a voicemail from Ashley Marie, who wants to follow up on the jury curse, Bryce.
Hello, Robin Bryce. Ashley Marie from Shadow Hills, California, calling. Earlier in the season, on another voicemail podcast, we learned about the jury curse. Now Debbie, the third juror in Karam, is now the third juror in Game Changers. None of the remaining survivors left have been the fourth juror. However, in Millennials versus Gen X, Jessica was not voted out of the game. She was eliminated in the rock draw. Zeke was the fourth person voted out of the game. And in Redemption Island, had there not been the Redemption Island twist, Andrea would have been the fifth person voted out of the game. Will the curse hold true? And will Zeke and Andrea be the fourth and fifth jurors? Love you, babe.
Okay. Bryce, oh, are you buying into this theory?
What was her name again?
That's from Ashley Marie.
Ashley Marie, this is your tape. This is Bryce Baker.
Bryce Baker.
Yes, you don't know about 13 Reasons Why?
Oh, I didn't watch that one.
Okay, come on. Well, listen. This
Who
is
was
Bryce
the girl
Baker.
From Serial that you were friends with?
oh my God. That. What do you mean? That was yes, and mind you, we texted a couple of times. Her name was and she wrote a book, and she signed my book and sent it to me. Oh my God, wait. And I just moved, so my books are Aisha, not Aisha. What's her name?
I know you're gonna have me about.
Right. She didn't see. Was you at the library with Asia?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Was you at the library with Anon, or was you not? Because I'd like to know. Because it's a lot going on with Anon as well too. Because you know he got
it Adnan.
Adnan, yes. I wrote Adnan a letter too. Okay.
Think it's an Adnan.
Yes. But this is too much going on. So I don't know about the curse. That's, you know, that's a lot. It's a lot with that. But I know about the curse with Kayla because he was like ninth out.
No, four, it was fourth out.
Day nine. No, was it third? I thought it was third.
Oh, yeah, no, he was fourth. Yeah, he was fourth. So it was the same day, but he was fourth out last time, but he was third out this time. But it was the same day.
Right. But so y'all know I was the third out on the longer day, not the shorter day. But yes. So, I mean, who knows? But I don't speak bad about my baby Andrea either, because Andrea, like, and I remember her on her season, but like after being in the Survivor community and getting to know her, she's amazing. But to watch her play, it's a beast. She's a beast on these challenges. Like, she's like a grade.
She's really good.
Grade A player. Like, in my opinion, she's the best player out there, which puts a target on her back, which I feel like Zeke knows that, which is why I feel like he prematurely flipped on her for no reason, and my mother. So, I mean, that's that. But to answer Ashley's question, I don't know. I mean, and so what is she applying that Andrea would be next to go?
She's saying that, no, Zeke, because we had Jessica Lewis, she chose Rox. She didn't get voted out. So then technically Zeke would have been the fourth jury. We're really stretching now. We're really stretching.
It's a lot.
it's a lot of stretching.
I don't know.
So, yeah, I don't know either. I'm not buying it. I don't think so.
So sorry, Ashley, this isn't your tape. Stay tuned to see if the next one is your tape.
Yes.
So I don't know. That's a lot. That's a loaded question. But I love the cereal thing. And I'm going to have to text Asia when we hang up.
Okay. What about S-Town? You follow S-Town?
Wait, hold on. What's that?
That's another podcast that's like cereal, right?
That's another podcast that I see that my coworker was telling me about it, and I haven't listened to it because I've been listening to like these political podcasts, but I know we won't get into that because it's a lot with that as well.
It's too. A lot.
But I have heard of that one, and that's like next on my podcast list to add to listen to. But I have, yes.
And then Richard Simmons, that was like really hot for a minute. And then they found him and then it was like, let's just wrap this up.
Wait, Richard Simmons, the workout?
Missing Richard Simmons podcast.
Oh,
that was like the new serial for like a minute. And then Richard Simmons was like, yeah, I'm fine.
Richard Simmons, that Richard?
Yeah, that one.
Oh,
he was missing.
Glad they found them.
They found him. Okay. This is one more question about the advantages. This is from Stuart in DC.
Hey, Rob, Stuart from DC. This week we were teased with an advantage at the reward challenge for the entire challenge up until the very last second when Sarah grabbed it. And I was wondering what your thoughts are on advantages like these hidden in plain sight. Specifically, how many do you think have been hidden this season that the viewers are just unaware of because no one found it? I mean, even last week we had the merge feast and I was sure someone would have found an advantage. Do you think that production didn't hide one or that this season there was just no one, not one to find? Thanks.
Bryce, do you think that there were advantages that were just laying out that people didn't find this season?
I don't think so, because I think that production wants the viewers to see that there are advantages there. And there have been advantages that, like, during the challenges that people have never got. So I don't think that they possibly were, because there have been so many, like, Ty finding two, this one at the immunity challenge. And I'm assuming, like, it wasn't Troy Zan. Who won? Was it Troy Zan that got his?
He got his in a challenge.
Right. So I'm assuming that the same thing applied to the other side. Like that, you know what I mean? That there would have been one on the other side of the table.
I've heard that. I don't think they hide it if nobody found the clue. I think they only put it out there if somebody found the clue. Like, it's not like Troy Zan could just go up to all the other teams, like immunity challenges, and just grab two more idols.
Well, that hasn't been, like, the other two seasons. Like, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm making this up, but I felt like there was, like, the other challenges where they were both there at the same time, because, like, two people found them, but maybe it was different episodes. I don't know.
So I don't think that there were too many other advantages that nobody found, but, you know, it is interesting that we did have, like, Sierra Dawn Thomas found the legacy advantage. She was just, like, standing on it. Andrea was, like, standing on it right before her.
Right.
Then there was also this thing that was just, like, hidden out there where anybody can find it. So I do like that idea of just like some things just like anybody could trip over it.
Right. But clearly nothing's been at the bottom of the rice, because that was what, like four seasons ago.
Yeah.
I like the bottom of the rice advantage, but
they reward the person who eats the most, or if Jatia dumps it out, then she gets it. Okay. Let me give you this question. We haven't talked a lot about Brad Culpepper. Here's a Brad question for you, Bryce. This is from Mike.
Bryce, would you ever consider trading in your purple pants for Brad Culpepper's bathing suit?
Okay. Mm. Would you like Brad Culpepper's bathing suit? Have you paid attention to it?
I do think Brad Culpepper has a very cute bathing suit / body / V / color tattoos / home interior decorating design.
Yeah, so, you could have used Brad to come to your new house.
Listen, when the house hunters come to reveal it, I think Brad Culpepper should be here. So I absolutely love, but here's this weird thing, and maybe you can help me through this complex. I don't know why I feel like the last time I seen Brad Culpepper on Survivor, I was not a fan of his. Did he not get a great edit last time that he was there, or is that me making it up?
That is not you making it up. He did not really get a great edit, and a lot of people didn't like Brad Culpepper, and a lot of people felt like, why are they bringing Brad Culpepper back?
Right. Well, I can tell you why, because he's pro athlete, and Survivor loves pro athletes. But here's a funny story. I was with Natalie not too long ago, and we were like,
Natalie Anderson?
Out. Yes, okay. The winner of Survivor, what is that, Blood versus Water?
Blood Water. Too.
Yes. And for some reason, I thought Brad Culpepper was the one that Natalie and Nadia got into it with. And so when John I seen Rocker. Her, I was like, right. But I thought it was Brad. So I was like, girl, I know you ain't happy to see Brad. She was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, girl, it's Brad for your season. She was like, oh my God, you're so nuts. She was like, no, that wasn't Brad. I don't know why I thought Brad was John Rocker, like, until I had that conversation with her.
Oh my God, you fool.
Yeah.
That's literally what she said to me.
I talked to her last week. She's so funny.
I love Natalie and Nadia. They're amazing. But okay. Yeah, I thought he was John Rocker for some reason.
No, not John Rocker. Okay. Bryce, let me play this question for you. This is from Felipe.
Hey, Rob and Bryce, it's Felipe from Boston, and I have to call in to ask the obligatory, who is the freakiest freak of the season? And since we didn't get one from Millennials versus Gen X, I'd like to know for that season as well. Thanks. Have a nice day. Okay. Bye.
Bryce.
Oh, my God. That's like such a hard question. So this is going to be weird, but so I feel like my freakiest freak. Hey.
Okay.
Hey, so,
well, but you know, Bryce, it's been so long since you've been on. Let's just reset all of this, because we have a lot of new listeners that come on, and it's been a year since you talked about this. So
it hasn't been a year. Can we just get the dates like accurate?
It has not been
months?
A year, but it's
Thank
been
you.
It's been quite some time since we first started talking. And did we give out the very first freakiest freak was given out way back when in Survivor Blood Water 2, back when Farm Guy 69, he became the original freakiest freak. And now that's ever since then, you've awarded one person the freakiest freak from every single season.
That is true.
Except for last season.
Except for last season.
Yes, yes. So I'm sure people are very interested to know, first, I guess, who is this season's freakiest freak, in your opinion?
So this season, like, I don't know. It's a toss-up because, like, I originally was, like, thinking, like, Zeke was going to be my freakiest freak. But then I'm like,
freakiest
I don't know.
Zeke?
Freakiest Zeke, because it just sounds so, like, whatever. But then I was like, in no way do I want to get caught up in
you don't want that heat.
I don't want no Varner Gate. So
it's a lot.
Yes. So, and then I was thinking about this. And so y'all going to find me crazy. But I think the other day I was like watching your Instagram live. And so I think my freakiest freak for this season is going to be a Jeffrey Probst favorite, but I'm going with Troyzan.
That's not what I thought. That's not where I thought you were going with that. Yeah.
Click, 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 click.
So I think I'm going to have to go with Troyzan as my freakiest freak.
Why? Why did you go with Troyzan as the freakiest freak?
Well, because my original freakiest freak that I thought was going to be, he didn't really last that long. And then he accused Michaela of stealing sugar. So I was like, he just can't be my freakiest freak. But I don't know why.
Wait, why was JT going to be the freakiest freak?
Because I just love JT. And I don't know. Anything he just said didn't work. You done took the sugar, baby girl. I know you took the sugar, baby girl. It's all right. Have a sleep. I don't know. Maybe it was his beer belly that he came back with this season that I was just like, oh. But
that says freakiest freak to you, beer belly?
Sometimes, listen, the freakiest freak, you just never know what happens. So, and then I wasn't that impressed with Debbie's bathing suit. So it was like, it can't be Debbie.
Yes. Because Debbie was the co-wrong freakiest freak. Because she was a puzzle lover.
She was a puzzle lover. And that's like, you know. But Troyzan kind of like surprised me winning this immunity challenge, hold, you know, with that rope so tight. So I just, wait, that wasn't him.
So that was like a 50 Shades of Grey type thing that he's able to keep that rope real tight?
That was the thing. And then I got the, like, and then his long hair and his, like, you know, fuller lips. I'm like, okay, Troyzan, you can be the freakiest freak. So I would have to go with Troyzan. I know it may not be, you know, among the popular, but and the purple pants badass vote, I'm giving it to Troyzan.
She's a little devil, that one.
You know, and Malcolm also, I think, cast a vote in Troyzan's direction.
I think he did, and like, I love Malcolm as well. Love Malcolm as well. So sorry to see him go. So yeah, he actually did. But I love Troyzan's amazing. I think he's playing a great game. I love him out in the wilderness. And I was like watching his Instagram live the other day, and like, so, and this is the real reason. So I'll actually be real. This is why I voted for Troyzan as the freakiest freak. I was watching his Instagram live one day, and I know y'all all have that experience when you're watching stories and like, it, you're watching a story and then it just goes to somebody's live. Like, first of all, I didn't sign up for this. I don't know why I'm like watching y'all live. So I happened to just land on like Troyzan's live, and it was like some Survivor fan in there. I forget, her name was like Ashley or something. And then she was just like, Troyzan, I love to kiss your lips. Are you single? And Troyzan was so like, he was flustered by it. Like, he was like, oh, Ashley, I can't see your profile picture.
She's a little devil, that one.
And he was like, I am single. I was like, okay, Troyzan, you better slide in them DMs. It goes down in the DMs. It's a lot that happens. So I was like, okay, Troyzan,
wow,
that's freaky, freaky. So I was like, okay, Troyzan is the freakiest freak.
Okay, good on Troyzan.
Yes.
Man, was that before or after he won the immunity challenge? Did he get some extra heat from winning the immunity challenge?
So I think it just only turned up the freaky all week. And before he was just the freak. Now that immunity challenge turned it up to all week. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, good for Troyzan. Congratulations to him. Freakiest freak of the season. And then did you have anybody, if you wanted to go back to Millennials versus Gen X?
If I had to go back to anybody, I would probably give Jay the freakiest freak.
Okay. Anything in particular?
Just Jay is hilarious, and just his Instagram, and just, you know, he was the ultimate wingman when Figgy and with Homeboy was hooking up, and he wasn't feeling that, and all of that. Even though Ashley, it should be Homeboy with the baby. What's his name?
Taylor.
Well, wait a minute. Pause. Sorry. And I love Jay. Jay is the runner up. It's Taylor is the freakiest. Yeah. Taylor is the freakiest freak. Sorry. What was I thinking?
All right. Good for Taylor. Okay. All right. Wasn't sure if Michaela would have been in the running.
They about to see some tatas today.
No.
I'm a mama bear tonight. Rob, so none of my Cubs will be in my freakiest freaks.
Okay.
So
fair enough. All right. So joining the ranks, what an esteemed club for the freakiest freak of Farm Guy 69, Jen Brown, you referenced her honeypot and that
yes.
Yeah. Keith Nail was the second chance. something about he had size 16 feet. Is that what was going on with Keith Nail?
Yes.
Debbie, the puzzle lover. I'm getting all this from the RHAP wiki. It's all there under Bryce's freakiest freak of the season.
I love it.
Okay. All right. Building off of that, this is a question for you from Logan.
Hey, guys. It's Logan. You'll probably get the question of who is the freakiest freak this season, but I want to know who is the least freakiest freak. Thanks. Love you, bae.
Okay. Have you thought about who's the least freakiest freak?
Oh, my God. Who's the least freakiest freak that's out there right now that's still in the game? Or are we talking whole season?
You could do the whole season if you want.
I don't know about, like, Malcolm. It's like, no, I'm not going to say Malcolm is the least freakiest freak. Who's, like, the... That's a hard question. Come on, the freakiest freak don't think about the non-freakiest freak. I only thinks about the freak.
Yeah.
You don't have to, like, I don't know. Like, I can't give that. That's a hard one.
That's a hard question to answer. Because most people that are going on Survivor are pretty big freaks to begin with.
So it, maybe, and I don't want to give it to Culpepper. I don't know. That's a hard question. I wasn't ready for that one. Let me see. You know who my least freakiest freak is? There's Haley, and she's on... Like, she's on a jury, the first jury member.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Why is Haley the least freakiest freak?
Because she ain't had time to be no freakiest freak. Because I just felt like all season, baby girl was on the out, had to, like, do the absolute... Like, I just felt like these tribals that we've been seeing that have been, like, you know, I mean, these... Like, she's just been on the outs of the outs, and I just felt like she ain't have time to get into her freakiness. She's been all business, no play.
Okay.
When she went to tribal, it was like, I'll empty out my bag, but I'm not doing it unless somebody asks me to do it.
I'm not going to take my clothes off.
I'm not getting freaky unless somebody say, get freaky. So I said, she'll get the least freakiest freak.
Yeah. What about Jeff? Is he in the running after last week?
Pamper yourself with lotions.
You already know Jeffrey is, like, of the top. He loves any challenges with the balls and the lotion. So absolutely Jeffrey would be. But he will not get an esteemed title until I get a phone call. So.
Okay. All right. And, Bryce, I have a question for you about the hot couple at Ponderosa that everybody's talking about.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Bryce. It's Jason from New Jersey. And my question is, Debbie and Oz, you're totally going to bone, right?
Now, is that something that could happen?
Listen, anything can happen at Ponderosa. But yeah. I love Ozzy. So, I mean, I don't, you know, and who knows? But anything can happen at Ponderosa.
Okay. I feel like that we don't hear a lot of stories anymore about a lot of Ponderosa hookups. I feel like that maybe, like, pre-Ponderosa videos, I feel like that maybe used to happen more. And I feel like that there's rarely things that come out. And if they do, they must keep it real hush-hush about these people hooking up at Ponderosa.
I don't know, because I think it's still happening. Because, you know, they only pull those Ponderosa cameras out at certain times. The rest of the time, they be chilling. So I got the tea.
Okay.
So I think Ponderosa hookup's still happening.
It's still happening. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah. Bryce, this is something I tweeted about earlier today. I want to get your take on this. So the group of six from last night that we saw, that was Brad and Sierra and Debbie and Ty and Troyzan and Sarah, they had an alliance name, which was known as...
Luckily, one of my power six won immunity.
The power six.
Mm.
What do you think of that? Do you like that name for an alliance?
I mean, listen, if it works, why not? Sierra is my boo.
You love Sierra.
So I do like Sierra.
Why? What is the attachment to Sierra?
Well, I mean, are we talking like a fan or talking like personal, like in my real life?
Oh, either one. Do you know her in real life?
So, of course, I met Sierra like several times. I love Sierra. I'm supposed to come up there and ride some horses with her, but
I don't think I ever met her.
Oh, she's a doll. And when I was like reading and, you know, the last minute switch between her and Natalie, I was seeing some people like tweeting like, why is she a game changer? I absolutely think Sierra's
whose voice is that?
That was somebody on Twitter. Not a freakiest freak. But somebody was like, I don't know why he is a game changer. And I don't really like, you know, I'm trying to like evolve and trying to be more mature and like not stoop down to getting somebody together on Twitter. So I like was really trying hard not to. But Sierra's my boo. And I think that, I think this season it's really shown why she's a game changer. Like when Malcolm went home and that like pivotal moment when like Debbie was talking and she was like, you finish your statement. Like, and Debbie, like, you know what I'm talking about? And Debbie finished it. And then like, she was the one that wanted Malcolm home. So
wait, what was that? Who said finish your statement?
I think Sierra said they were talking and Debbie was saying something, but like kind of got cut off. And Sierra came in like, finish your statement. And then like she like gave her two pleas. But
when
Sierra
did that happen?
Oh my God, this season, where Rob, come on.
I don't remember that part.
It was like Mortal Kombat when they was about to be like, finish her. Like she came out and was like,
fatality?
Finish your statement. Yeah. What you know about that Mortal Kombat, Rob?
I used to play Sega Genesis. I know.
Oh my God. Listen, yeah. Sega was that bad boy. So I think Sierra is great. I just hate the fact that she's like opposite of like my, like as a fan, my personal favorites, but I think Sierra is great. And I think Sierra's going far as well. I mean, she's aligned herself well, but who knows with this episode coming up, you know, with the previews, they like to confuse you. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it looks like it's a shakedown. But
see, I thought you were anti anybody in the horse industry because of LJ.
But you know how I feel about LJ. But no, she brings a fresh light and she's not talking to our horses and dating them like LJ. So it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, she is talking to those horses. Listen to her.
I may not have children, but I have 30 horses that rely on me every single day, twice a day.
Yeah.
It's not the same. It's the difference. So I still love Sierra. Shout out to LJ. What's going on? Hey, Leon.
That's his real name, Leon?
Yes. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
He shouldn't have voted me out. So
Power Six is you like that name. That's fine.
I
with
mean,
you.
I don't love it. But yeah. Listen, when you end up when you're in the Power Six, what's the point of coming up with something complicated because you're in the Power Six?
I guess I think that maybe they dodged a bullet because I think that probably they could have gotten themselves in trouble. You don't want to walk around like telling too many people like you just wait and see what the Power Six is going to do to you.
Well, i.e. Debbie to Aubrey.
Yeah.
Well, oh yeah, that sounds. I just heard what you said. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to pass on that. But I still think,
yeah,
although I would be maybe slightly curious to know
what the Power Six can do.
What the Power Six can do. But I'm not everybody. So
you never know when the Power Six is going to pop up and cause trouble. Now it's a Power Five. Now the Power Five can do less damage, Bryce.
It's a dwindling.
Can't do as much with the Power Five as the Power Six.
You can't, but I mean, you never know. The Power Five can still pack a punch.
Yeah, so. I guess it's not the numbers. It's really what you do with them, I guess.
Right.
All right. And then this is something else I need you to explain to me because, all right, so this was something that Michaela said last night at Tribal Council. Okay. So Michaela was talking about how she wasn't really afraid of the Power Six.
We all know who's running the show, and you can either do something about it while you have numbers, or you can sit here looking like Boo Boo the Fool.
Okay. Boo Boo the Fool.
Yes.
I don't know about Boo Boo the Fool, but I've heard this before, and I don't really know what she's talking about. And I was hoping that I've heard this before in Survivor history. Do you know about Boo Boo the Fool?
Oh, I know about Boo Boo the Fool.
Because that Michaela is not the only Survivor that's talked about Boo Boo the Fool. This is Shamar back in Survivor Karamoan talking about the same Boo Boo the Fool.
You were, like, you wasn't going to vote for me before today. Like, today was just like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to vote for Shamar Day. Like, come on, man, get out of here. Do I look like Boo Boo the Fool to you?
Yeah. That Shamar, he's saying, hey, I'm not Boo Boo the Fool.
No.
And listen to this, Bryce. Here is Nayanka back
in... Oh, my God, I'm not listening.
Survivor Nicaragua.
Brenda showed her ass. She literally threw me under the bus and ran over me forward and backwards and then had a nerve to write my name down. Do I look like Boo Boo the Fool?
Why are all these survivors shading Boo Boo the Fool?
Nobody is shading Boo Boo the Fool. It is Boo Boo the Fool. You don't want to be Boo Boo the Fool. And clearly, ain't that funny? All three black,
I don't know. I never heard of Boo Boo the Fool other than these three survivor players talking about Boo Boo the Fool.
So Boo Boo the Fool, I believe, was a cartoon. And Boo Boo the Fool was like, a clown, and he was like always getting played tricks on, and like,
so,
and maybe,
so it's
I don't
not
know.
Boo Boo that's with Yogi Bear. This is a
well,
different
no,
Boo Boo.
No, it is. No, that's what I'm talking about. Yogi the Bear, Boo Boo the Fool.
But he's not a clown, Boo Boo.
But they like treated him like a clown, and like he was never like Boo Boo the Fool. That's what I'm talking about, right? Hello.
Yeah. But why is it always used like, hey, what do you think I am? You think I'm Boo Boo the Fool? Like, nobody's saying like, hey, you are Boo Boo the Fool.
Well, because it's like Boo Boo the Fool, they always treated him like he was dumb, but he really wasn't dumb. So it's like, I'm not Boo Boo the Fool. Wait a minute. Maybe I'm confusing it. Maybe Boo Boo the Fool really was dumb. So like, and they would tell him, like from Yogi Bear, they would like send him on those missions and do all them stupid stuff that he would do. So it's like, I ain't nobody Boo Boo the Fool. Like, I'm not somebody that you're just about to tell me, like, do A, Y, and B. Like, I said A, Y, and B. You A, B, and C. And I'm just going to follow you just because. So, I mean, but that's funny. Hey, Nayanka, I love Nayanka, even though she don't really show me love. But I love Nayanka.
She gets a lot of hate from the fans because the whole quitting thing.
Well,
but
right.
I think that she would have come back and played multiple seasons if it wasn't for quitting.
Her. I reached out to her a couple of times and she ain't never respond. But here nor there. But I love Nayanka. She was like, again, another one of the, like, not the reason, but another one of the reasons, like, oh my God, when she, my moment for her was, forget her quitting, when she hit that machete. Like, I just thought that was hilarious. But yeah, ain't nobody got time to be beautiful. And I specifically thought as though she was talking to Sarah. Well, we clearly all know she was talking to Sarah that night. Like, listen, you have the numbers. While it's a 6-5, like, you can be the 6 over here. Make that move. And clearly Sarah went with, you know, what she went with.
Oh, that's interesting. See, I thought that everything was sort of like that they were just all like doing like a play for the power 6 there. You think that that everybody there was being real and Sarah just flipped at the last minute?
So, I mean, we hear Sarah saying, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to flip at the last minute. So we know that Ceree and Michaela are confidants. So
yeah.
I could clearly... People are coming to Michaela saying they're saying your name. And so Michaela has to have some type of weight on that because clearly she knows the power 6. It would be an easy vote for her. And then here, Ceree probably saying to Michaela more realistically, like, I don't know if Sarah is with us, but this is the only play that we have. So in my opinion, I feel like that Michaela was being open and honest, saying like, do what you need to do while you have the numbers in order to like move forward. So I really thought that that was like, and we all know Michaela doesn't punt fake or fraud or do any of that. So, and especially when her name is in the mix. So clearly we know this has to be genuine from her. So I really felt as though she was really speaking to Sarah, like, listen, you had the numbers, do what you gonna do, and if not, then it is what it is, and it's the end of the road for me.
Okay, I will say that I disagree. I think that she was playing, and I think that she knew what was up, because then why did she eat the coconut if she didn't, like, that wasn't, like, you're not going to eat the coconut if you think that it's a 50-50 chance. She had to know Sarah was in on the plan at that point.
Well, and I think so. Well, I disagree, because, well, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I disagree as to she was confirming to Sarah what you need to do from the actions that have been shown here at Tribal Council. So I 100% agree with you that she knew what was going down. But at the same time, she needed to be confident either way. So, I mean, either way, you want to eat the coconuts and it's not going to be you. It's going to be Andrea. So, but no, I agree. Like, I agree that she knew what was going on, but I still feel as though she was having a sincere talk with Sarah. Like, listen, girl, I'm with you, like, and this just all makes the more sense to go this way.
I can't wait to say.
Do I look like Boo Boo the Fool?
Yeah. I'm going to say that's in the call later. Next time she's, like, accusing me of something. It's like, listen, right. Nicole, do I look like Boo Boo the Fool to you?
Because it's a lot going on around here.
Okay. Bryce, are you ready to get into what the survivors are saying on social media?
You know I love it.
Okay. Here is the latest work from the great Ryan Elder.
Tweets, baby, tweets. Survivor tweets. They're better than flying in coach with Debbie. Tweets.
Yeah.
Wait, Debbie. Sidebar. Why am I not rapping for you for something that you got? Like, what's going on with that, Rob?
That you could rap about whatever you want. I didn't know that that was an option.
I mean, listen, I can give you a, listen, I
thought you were out the game.
I'm out the game of what?
Of I didn't know that you were still rapping.
Come on now, you know I drop a song a year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I haven't talked to you in 11 months and 2 weeks, so how would I know?
It's a lie. That's a lie. But okay. But
do I look like Boo Boo the Fool?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, that was you.
That was me talking to you.
Oh, okay. Rob, that was the other one.
I'm about to text Nicole right now. You know what? But go ahead. Okay. Let's get into it.
Please. All right, Bryce, here is Sarah Lucina, okay? Our friend Sarah Lucina. She was my winner pick back in Cagayan. Did you know, remember that?
I remember that.
Yes. So now she's proving me right. I was just ahead of my time. Now she's doing good.
She's doing excellent.
She let me down the first time. Okay. She said to Stephen Fishback, because we were talking about last night about whether or not Sarah was shading Stephen Fishback when she talked about how she was going to be the first person that was going to use that advantage correctly. She says that was going to be a thing. And Stephen was saying he's tired of hearing this from all these people that whenever this advantage, that they're going to use it correctly. She says, now, actually, in defense of what I said about you playing it incorrectly, she says it was literally written on the instructions that Stephen played it incorrectly. Is that and she says I wasn't hating, I'll DM you a picture of it.
It's a production.
What did it say? Just so you know, Stephen Fishback played this incorrectly in his season, so I hope you do better than he did.
why didn't they throw Dan in there? That's shade. Didn't Dan have the same one as well?
I think that I would have been just doubled over. If I was on Survivor and I got a letter about how he used this correctly because Stephen Fishback screwed it up, I would have been like Harvey and Russell just like reading the letter over and over and over again. Oh,
why
my God.
Like that?
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. And then she was also this is a real rivalry between Steven and Sarah Lucina, because then he didn't give her the fishy last night.
Right. That's right.
And then she responded to him and said, no fishy? LMAO. Oh. Your entire article is about me. I think you still have stains on your glasses. P.S. I'm at a sleepover.
Oh.
See, well, I think that she's doing a lot of things Tony would do this season. She's finding advantages. She's making all these big plays and coming after Steven's wig on Twitter.
Oh, my God. The wig is off.
It's off at this point.
Yes. It's in the air.
Yeah. Okay. So she was very salty about not getting the fish. The survivors really care about who gets the fishy.
They do. It's a confidence. It's higher than the freakiest freak. Like, are you kidding?
Like, I feel like that nobody is really, you know, too upset. Like, people get mad if I really kill somebody on the podcast. But if I could go on and on and on. Oh, this person was the best. But Steven in that blog that he gives out the fishy, the survivors are really concerned about who gets the fishy.
That's a great blog, though. I love the way Steven writes, though. So, it is a great book.
He does do a great job. He does. Although, but his fishy game is off at times.
Well, I mean, he's a little sensitive, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Who else? Okay. Cass weighed in on last night's episode. She said deja vu. So it was not lost on Cass, the coincidence. Also, she said, you'll always have my vote, President Lucina. So isn't that a nice story that Cass and Sarah have made up?
I think that's cute. That's cute.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll ever get total Kagiyan harmony, but that's nice at least that they've made up.
Agreed.
We'll wait for peace in the Middle East first before right. We can get Kagiyan back on the same page. Okay. Sophie, she said, guys, I met Suri last week and I think I embarrassed myself. I may have bowed to her. Keep replaying it in my mind. I can't sleep.
I heard Francesca and Sophie when Francesca said that like they were like so in awe. They were like staring at her before they approached her.
Yeah, they were nervous.
Listen, I can't wait till the day it happens.
Well, Suri has really been like off the scene.
Grid.
Yeah, basically from Heroes versus Villains through now. Like very few people have seen her at anything Survivor.
Well, hopefully whenever she does her exit interview, hopefully it won't be for 39 days, but she'll be back on the Rob Has a Podcast.
Yes.
I know last time we talked, you said, and please, I need for you to do me a favor, Rob.
Yes.
Whenever it is that you talk to her, please let her know how much a fan of hers I am. I love her and I cannot wait to meet her.
Yes. And yeah, it's been very long since she was on during Survivor Nicaragua. She talked about the Survivor Nicaragua premiere with me. And then we lost touch and she never wanted to come on the podcast anymore.
But what did you do, Rob?
I don't think I did anything. I think that maybe she was either like, I don't care about Survivor, or I'm trying to keep a low profile so I don't get voted out if I get go play again. I don't think I pissed her off.
Okay.
A lot of times I don't think I pissed off Nicole and she's mad at me. Candace Cody, she tweeted, yes, Debbie, nobody else has ever been on an airplane except for you. Yeah, when Debbie is saying that, I'm like, well, I go on airplanes. I know everything about airplanes.
Pilot.
It's a big deal for them, but not for me.
Have we ever decided like what Debbie actually is? So like what, like I'm just so confused.
What do you think she is?
I don't know.
I think that server at Red Lobster, I think that was the one that stuck with me.
Well, right, girl. I mean, no, but I think the one that stuck with me was a gymnast.
Yes, but then she had to crawl across that balance beam, Bryce.
Hello? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And then she's saying she was in the Air Force. Like, I mean, like, I would want to hope and believe that you were in the Air Force. I don't know. It's a lot.
It's a lot of jobs from Debbie. Okay. Coach tweeted out.
Hey, the Dragon Slayer.
Yes, he tweeted out to Cochran, at John M. Cochran. Are you unfollowing me, then following me back just to get my attention? Because it's working. Do you think that Cochran is doing that? Do you think that Cochran is just unfollowing and following Coach just to mess with him?
I don't know. Like, what? Coach.
Yeah. Have you ever done that? Have you ever unfollowed somebody by accident?
No, I unfollow people on purpose.
Yeah. Sometimes I favorited something by accident and then I will look at this person's profile like, oh my God, no, I don't want anything to do with this person. And then I'll feel like, oh no, unfavorite.
No, I unfollow people. I listen because of course I wasn't that, you know, on Survivor that long. So a lot of people don't know who I am. So I, you know me, I'm a Survivor fan. I like to show love, but sometimes when I go back and be like, wait a minute, hold up, let me go look at her. Boop, unfollow. Listen, you didn't make that great of an impact on the show. But you know how these survivors are. They let me just keep my mouth shut.
Okay, so you're saying that there's survivors that you've blocked after the fact. You don't like what they're saying?
I have not blocked any survivors, but sometimes, like, you know, I'll show love to survivors and they think like I'm just like, you know,
they think they're too good?
What, they're too good or they don't know who I am.
Yeah.
So like, you know, and
they think they're too good for you?
Hello.
Right?
Do I look like Boo Boo the Fool?
Okay, yes. Exactly. So,
and okay, you tell me tell me who they are. I'll unfollow them too. I'll stand with Bryce.
You read one of their tweets that I had to unfollow recently, but
on this podcast?
Minutes ago.
Oh, my
God. We'll keep it cute, but, you know, it doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. You tweeted,
oh,
they better not turn this moment, this Ceri moment, into a Ceri target.
I was nervous because they spent so much time on it, like all of the voicemails want to point out. I was nervous, but thankfully, it didn't turn into that. So I was super glad that Ceri is still in the numbers until they try to move in on my baby. But I was nervous. Did that not cross your mind?
That they were going to turn it around on her? I thought that Ceri was going home, but more from like an edit thing.
Right,
where it was like,
spent
oh,
so much time. Right.
Why are they building Ceri up? She must be going home in this episode. So I didn't think necessarily that the players were going to get rid of her, like with the Zeke thing, where, oh, now she has the best story. But I was very concerned about her from a, like, boy, I think this must be her boot edit.
So was I.
So they threw me off with that. Also, you said, I love the fact that at the Michaela B brings drinks and snacks to Tribal Council. Is it possible, you know, you see all these survivors like, oh, well, all she does is she's eating all the time. Was it possible that she was just taking all the coconut to bring to Tribal Council and everybody thought she ate it all?
She was storing them. She wanted to make sure she had some snacks for Tribal because she knew it's a lot going down tonight.
Yeah, she knew what was going on. All right. Eliza, she ended up tweeting out that she is, I guess she's not a fan of Sarah. She said, I guess when Sarah found the idol, she said, OMG, it's not because you're a cop. You got lucky. Okay. What do you think? Was that lucky or that was being observant?
I think that was a little bit of both, but I think that it's more so being observant because I think when you're out there, you can miss a lot of things that are pretty obvious. So I think that a little bit, me being cocky, I'm biased, I think that it's a little, I think, you know, her being a police. But I love Eliza, so I don't ever want to go against Eliza.
Oh, no,
so,
nobody should ever want to go against Eliza because then she will come and take also take your wig.
She will snatch your wig.
Yes.
She will tug it like Sheree tugged Kim Zolciak's wig.
Yes.
So we don't want no problems with Eliza. And she's like all over the world, like traveling. I love following Eliza on Instagram, like with her traveling all over since she like left her job as like public defender and traveling. I love like watching, going and inspires me. Love you, Eliza Boo.
Yeah, she goes more places than The Amazing Race.
Listen, she is the
I don't
amazing.
Know where the next pit stop is.
Yeah. Right.
They should put her in this like Perfect Strangers cast. You follow The Amazing Race?
I have been. I followed the first couple of episodes when I was like doing the Perfect Strangers. That would have been perfect.
I like
for
this
Eliza.
One. Yeah, because she could fight with her partner and go different places.
Right.
Be perfect. She also said about Sarah. Also, when did Sarah get a raincoat? I thought this was Survivor. Yeah. She's pissed
I
about this.
I thought the same thing with that yellow raincoat. That is so funny. I'm like, hold up. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Where does Cole come from?
Okay. So first of all, I think that that's Zeke's jacket. I don't know why she has it now, but I almost feel like that's a bad thing in terms of like, you know, she's saying to Zeke, like, hey, Zeke, nobody knows. It's just me and you. But, you know, they talk about it all the time on Survivor. Oh, the two people that sleep together, like Boston Rob said, hey, here's a Survivor tip for everybody. If somebody's sleeping next to each other, they're in a line. Well, let me tell you something else. If somebody is wearing somebody else's jacket, they're going steady. Okay, that's a twosome right there.
It's an alliance. I agree with that.
Yeah,
because I've seen that with my own eyes. But yeah, I was thinking that same thing when she popped up on the screen. I'm like, hold up, wait a minute.
But Bryce, I think a lot of these survivors have jackets this season. I do wonder if this is something that Survivor has sort of softened on, where they used to like, let's put them out there with no clothes. I think they're giving them more clothes now. And again, just to be fair, I had a raincoat when I played in the Amazon. They used to give them more clothes. They took them away. I think they're giving some of them these clothes back. I think that they realize that, like, hey, like these people are cold at nighttime. Like, let's take a little bit better care of these people.
But you also have to remember it's game changers. So these aren't somebody that's just playing for the first time. We got survivors playing for 5, 4, and 3 times. So they know what the T is. So I also think like they just know what to bring and they know what to push with production. Because child, I didn't care. I was like, let me just wear these purple pants and I'm popping. That's it. I don't need no raincoat. What you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Debbie has a hoodie. Like, there's a bunch of survivors that have, jackets this season.
But it hasn't been a lot of rain.
No,
like,
been good.
Have you noticed that? Right. Just a little sprinkle.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
Bryce, Michael Snow tweeted, NYC smells like reefer all the time. I don't know what that has to do with Survivor, but he said
it. I don't know. Oh, Snowy, I love Snowy. Snowy is, like, amazing. But, yeah, I don't know what that means, but... It's a confusing tweet.
Yes, yes. T-Bird had a lot of support for the survivors, as always. She tweeted to Michaela at the Michaela B, look, but you're too busy cheering on the others. What sportsmanship? Love you.
Now, was that a T-Bird impersonation?
Yes.
Okay. That was pretty good.
She says,
yeah.
Does at the Michaela B have her own catering truck at Tribal Council? Just asking. It most def helps her make her point. She's very much always sending positive energy to the survivors.
She is. I love T-Bird. She's amazing.
Nobody is coming for T-Bird's wig.
Nobody. They better keep T-Bird's wig. If it's a lace front, they better keep T-Wig's wig staying on.
I think that's it. Rupert has not been tweeting.
Nah, he's been busy.
Rupert's been busy. I think he's mad that he might not be a game changer also.
Mm-hmm. But Rupert, this would have been what, Rupert's fourth time playing?
This would have been his fifth time. I mean, if you count his fourth time.
Right.
Yeah. So that would have been number 5 for Rupert. Nobody's played 5 times yet.
How do you feel about the returning players that play 4 and 3 times? Like, what are your thoughts on that, Rob?
I don't mind it. I know there's some people that say, like, hey, it should be, you know, twice and that's it. But I kind of feel like that for the most part, I mean, these are the people that have mostly popped. I mean, I know people don't love Boston Rob sometimes, but you can't argue with some of the things that he's been able to do. Obviously, Suri is another legend. Even Ozzy, I didn't mind him coming back. I know some people are sick of Rupert, but I do feel like that for the most part, that the people they've brought back 4 times have all earned it.
I mean, if that's your opinion.
Why? Do you think that there's too many people they brought back 4 times? Why? Who's the one that bothers you? Ozzy?
I mean, no, you know I love Ozzy. None of them bother me because I'm a Survivor fan, but I just feel like you have this pool of Survivor players. And I just feel like that there are, like, I don't understand why we don't have a whole season of pre-merges that never made the merge. Like, that would be a great idea. And I think somebody tweeted that out to Jeffrey, and Jeffrey's response to that was like, oh, they're just not enough big names.
Right.
Like, huh?
Yeah.
Well, when you have a new season of new players, where are the big names there?
Right. I think that this was a while back. I think that Brian Corridan had said that and he responded to it. Yeah, I don't think that maybe you could, you know, market a season as these are the pre-jury people. But I definitely think that you could do some sort of like format where, you know, it's like a tribe of people who didn't make the merge or something like that. Like, I think it'd just be weird to, I don't know what you would call that season.
A second chance.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly disagree with that. I feel like there are enough names and enough players that, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't ever want to call myself bitter, but I'm not. But I just feel like there's a pool of other survivors that they can pull from that, like, would be just how they were, like, so surprised at, like, how well Jeff Varner did his second time around, not this time around, that they're like, yeah. Oh, my God, we need to bring him back for a third time. Like, honey, there's hundreds of us.
Yeah, quit while you're ahead, you're saying, with Survivor, with some of these people.
Right. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, but, right. You know, my number ain't changed.
Okay. I definitely think that there's a wealth of people to bring back, like yourself. I don't know if it needs to only be in a season. Just bring back good people. I don't think you need to necessarily say these are just like Brad Culpepper was, the fourth person out on his season. They just bring him back. You know, it's not like that you have to like wait for a season of only pre-jury people.
But I'm just saying, to me, in my eyes, I don't think the idea is a bad idea. With, like, I mean, you keep rerunning Blood versus Water, you keep running all these things. Like, I just feel like, why not? But that's my opinion.
Okay. Bryce, one other note. This is from earlier this week. Russell Hantz, I don't think he had any live tweets about the episode, but did tweet on April 22nd a poll to his Twitter followers. What do you guys think about me starting a podcast? He asked people to vote. 64% of Russell Hantz's Twitter followers voted yes. Russell Hantz should start a podcast.
I saw that actual, and I voted in that. Russell was funny. Well, maybe is he still flipping houses?
No. What did you vote? Did you vote yes or no?
Should you ever ask somebody what they vote? It's like, should we, so, you know, it's not a personal, but I did vote yes. I like Russell Hantz, and little known secret, like, I have like I don't like the term private relationship with Russell Hantz, but I know, because that sounds, the condensation to that is not
that's
good.
Like on but the I, down low.
Right. See, there you go. I can't even make an issue to that. But no, I have spoken and have been in communication with Russell Hantz, and he's completely different from like the Russell Hantz that clearly he puts out there. Okay. But I mean, I would be curious.
Are you going to be the first guest on the Russell Hantz podcast?
I can't confirm or deny that. But you know my loyalty lies with the Rob Hantz.
Thank
the
you.
Family,
thank you. Appreciate okay? it. Appreciate it. That's why you're the best, Bryce. Okay. Bryce, we covered it all today. Is there anything that you feel like we didn't get to talk about that you were thinking about?
I think we've covered it all. I don't know. If I would have had something, I would have forgot, because you took me out of here with the Issa. So I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
But I am random thought. I know for like, because I always feel like for the Survivor meetups, they're never in Philadelphia. They're always like in California. They're always in New York. So I am working on something local for anybody in the Philadelphia, the tri-state area, Philly, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, Philly, New Jersey, the tri-state area. I am working on like a meetup. I would love for us to get together and watch Survivor.
So what are you, you're going to watch Survivor with the fans? Is that what you're, yes, you're working on setting up?
So that's what I'm working on. So please, you know, stay tuned to my Twitter, Bryce Isaiah, for the update.
For this season?
For this season, what's going to happen this season, maybe even the final episode, we'll have a get together. But I would love to watch it with you guys, because I always feel like I have to travel to New York. I have to travel to Florida. I like, you know, what's going on in my own neighborhood? I know there are Survivor fans out here. So for the Rat family that's out here, please stay posted, because we're going to have to get together like and show love.
All right, Bryce, what's the hashtag today?
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. Okay. I wasn't sure if you were going to go with gobble gobble.
Oh, well, I mean, gobble gobble was funny. Or it's a gobble gobble. Or I don't know. It's the gobble.
No, go. It's a podcast. That's good.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. Okay. Great job, Bryce. Of course, Bryce is on Twitter. Everybody, please let Bryce know how much you appreciate having him back here on the podcast. He is at Bryce Isaiah on Twitter.
Thank you. Can I get to 10K? Like, is that too much to ask for? Like, I feel like they don't ever respect you unless you got like that 10K next to you. And so I always feel like people never show me love. Like, but you know, that's just how I feel. But I'm a fan more than a player. I'm a fan of the show, and I appreciate you having me, Rob. You know, I love you, Nicole, and the kids. I love everybody. So thank you so much for having me. And let's not make it 11 and a half months to the next.
Yeah, let's not. Bryce, that I always love getting to talk with you. I think you are one of the funniest survivors around, and it is always so much fun.
It's a compliment.
Yes, yes. And we talked through so much stuff, and I really do appreciate your insight on all this. And for your sake, I hope Suri walks away with this thing. One of your two babies. If not Suri, then Michaela.
My mama cub. And if you could please send my love to Aris, I would appreciate that.
I will.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Take care, Bryce. Rob. All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right, everybody. There you have it. It's Bryce Isaiah here on the podcast. And a great job with Bryce. He did not disappoint today, and really fun to catch up with him. All right. So tomorrow I'm going to have a podcast with you with Otis Bushkaskis. He's going to join me here in person in the studio to talk through everything, answer a bunch of your questions from Facebook. If you got a question for Otis and you're listening to this first thing, you can email it in, survivor@robhasawebsite.com. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a bunch of great Survivor shows coming up next week as well. In the meantime, also, I will get into everything with The Amazing Race in this Perfect Strangers season, which I'm very much enjoying. So much Perfect Strangers talk right now with Jessica Lease. Be on the lookout for that in the wrap-ups feed. And then also, I will have the Big Brother Canada exit interview in our wrap-ups feed as well. So be on the lookout for that. And to those of you patrons who have not listened to, we did another 3-hour patron cast this past Tuesday. I did another Facebook live chat in the group the other day. So we've got a lot of content. So if you want to hear that show and more, over 80 patron-only shows available on demand, go to robhaswebsite.com/patron. I'm going to take you out with a musical cue here that Shannon Gates was our Debbie correspondent in the preseason. She wrote an ode to Debbie at Ponderosa. Here is Shannon Gates talking about Debbie at Ponderosa.
I heard there was a secret vote that Cochrane gave you on a boat and said to vote for Ozzy 'cause of SOPA. This isn't a dictatorship, 'cause Sarah is the president and she just voted you to Ponderosa. Ponderosa. Fake drunk on mimosas, mooning Tywell's grocer, and sent you to Ponderosa. You were pissed at Brad before. You did push-ups, laughed up a storm. Your 8-pack could rival Steph LaGrosse's. You were down first, Brad, did you see? You smashed it on the balance beam. Haley was only first to Ponderosa. Ponderosa, Steph LaGrosse, Ponderosa.